This morning, I want to invite you to reflect with me on the first sentence of the gospel reading for today. The first sentence of the gospel according to Mark. And in light of that reflection, then to reflect together on what it means to be a community of faith, what it means to be a household of faith, and in light of that, what the role of a pastor might be. Mark is the only evangelist that begins his writing with the word gospel. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That word is terribly important, and the understanding of that word is critical if we are going to appreciate the rest of what Mark has to write. And the way we get to an understanding of that word is we have to go back to the Old Testament. And in fact, we have to go back to the 40th chapter of the prophet Isaiah, the passage that was read to us by Daniel at the very beginning, the first reading. It's in that passage that Isaiah tells us that there will be heralds of glad tidings. Heralds of glad tidings. Those four words are really a translation of one Hebrew word, Mabasaret. Mabasaret. Herald of glad tidings. Isaiah, in effect, launches us on a journey to discover the meaning of the word gospel. A journey that takes us through Hebrew and Latin and Greek before we get to English and the word gospel. The word gospel is a meaning, a herald of glad tidings. Gospel is not an idea. Gospel is not a written word. Gospel is not a story. Gospel is not something of the head. Gospel is action. Gospel is activity. Gospel is people. The Old Testament image is the image of a new ruler coming to power. And when that new ruler comes to power, the new ruler has the authority to grant amnesty, to forgive all debts, to open the prisons, to free all people. And to announce this, heralds of glad tidings were sent forth. The Mabasaret took to the road. What they announced is the presence of a ruler who brings liberation and who brings freedom. Gospel is the voice of people proclaiming the presence of God in their midst, a God who frees and a God who liberates. That's what the word gospel means. Now, the second word that I want to reflect for a bit is the smallest word in the first sentence. It's the word of, O-F. The gospel of Jesus Christ. At first reading, it might appear to mean the gospel about Jesus Christ or the gospel concerning Jesus Christ. But that's not what it means. In the Greek, and the text was written in Greek, in the Greek, the words Jesus Christ have a certain ending to them. And that ending is called by grammarians the genitive. But it's a very special use of that genitive. It's called the peri-exegetical genitive. And that six-bit word simply means that the words that come about after of define the words that are before of. So, the gospel, not according to Jesus Christ, but the gospel who is Jesus Christ, the gospel which is Jesus Christ, the gospel that is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ defines gospel. Gospel defines Jesus Christ. The herald of good news is Jesus Christ. The one who announces liberation is Jesus Christ. The presence of God among us is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the first of those people who are gospel. The Son of God incarnate, the Son of God in human flesh, is the very proclamation, is the very herald of the glad tidings. So that first sentence of St. Mark's Gospel reads this way. This is the beginning of the herald of good news, who is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now you and I, through the waters of baptism, are identified with Christ. We become one with Christ. We form the body of Christ. He is the head, and we are the members. And the work of Jesus Christ is our work. That just as Jesus comes among us to proclaim the presence of God, the freeing, life-giving, liberating presence of God in our lives and in the life of the world, so that's what we're called to do. That's our job. Now, how does this proclamation take place? How does this announcement take place? Well, Jesus will tell us later on in the story. When John the Baptizer is put into prison, he sends some of his followers to Jesus to ask Jesus, "Are you the one, the herald of God's presence who is to come? Or should we look for somebody else?" And Jesus says to those disciples, "You go back and you tell John exactly what you see and hear. The blind see, the deaf hear, the mute speak, the lame walk, the dead are raised to life, and the poor hear the message of joyful tidings." And then in another place, Jesus will say, "The announcement is made, the announcement of liberation is made, When the hungry are fed, when the thirsty are given to drink, when the naked are clothed, when the stranger is welcomed, when the sick are cared for, when those in prison are not abandoned. That's the way the good news, if you will, the joyful tidings, the glad tidings of liberation are spoken to the world. Now, that's our job. That's the job that you and I have. That's the job of the community, the body of Christ, the church. And in this church, in this community of Christ, every single one of us has been given gifts. And no two of us have been given the same gifts. And all of us have been given gifts that we are to bring to that work of being the gospel, to being the spokesperson, the announcer of glad tidings. Now, we aren't just a crowd of people. We aren't just a horde. We are a people. We are a community. And there is meant to be order within the life of a community so it can do its work well. And so one of the jobs that needs to be done in the community, one of those jobs is the job of pastor. It's no more important job than anyone else's job, but it is a specific job. And the pastor really has to do two things. His first job is to gather the community in prayer. To gather the community at the table of the Lord. To gather the community to celebrate the mystery of Christ. That's his first job. His second job is to guarantee the order of the community. When a person becomes a pastor, a person is ordained, and we call that sacrament holy orders. Well, you say, what does that mean? It is to the person's job to oversee the holy order of the community. Now, that's really important. You know, a community is like an extended family, and there's nothing crazier than an extended family. You know? You've got somebody who's an incredible extrovert and kind of monopolizes everything, and then you've got somebody who's an introvert who never gets a chance to say anything. Or you've got somebody who's very assertive and who scares the wits out of somebody who is much more private and much more quiet. Or you've got somebody who's very adamant about their issue and just won't stop, won't let it go, and tries to dominate the whole picture. And then you've got others who've got other gifts and they can't come forward. Well, that's just life. That's just life. And the role of the pastor is to, in a sense, guarantee that in that community, every voice can be heard. Every gift can be exercised. Every individual can play his or her part. Every person is respected. Every person is encouraged. Every person has his or her dignity acknowledged. So that when there's order, then all the gifts can come forward, and all those gifts are God-given, and all those gifts are necessary. They're all necessary. If we truly are going to be heralds of the glad tidings of God's love, God's compassion, God's goodness, and God's graciousness, God's freedom, God's liberation in our individual lives, in the life of a community, and in the life of the world. Now, for 40 years, I've had the opportunity to serve as pastor, 10 of those years here. Sometimes those years have passed like the twinkling of an eye, and sometimes they've seemed almost eternal. I mean, some days have been great, and other days I just as soon not get out of bed. I talked to a man last night who said, "You talked me many things over the past 30 years, most of which I don't remember." But I do remember one thing. You taught me that God loves me and that God is compassionate. Well, I said to myself, if that truly happened, then it's all been worth it. Because that is at the very heart of the mystery. That gentleman got it. God is liberator, and God brings freedom. The good news is the news of God's compassion. Well, we have the opportunity this morning to acknowledge a member of this gathering who is on the journey to the fullness of the life of faith through the sacrament of baptism, a journey that will be completed at the time of Easter. It's important for us as a community to acknowledge her. It's important for us as a community to stand with her. It's important for us as a community to pray for her, and her family as she makes this journey. For what she seeks is the faith by which you and I and she are drawn into the very mystery of Jesus Christ. What is your name? And what do you ask from the Church of God? And what does faith offer you? God gives life to everyone who comes into this world. Though unseen, he reveals himself through the works of his hand, so that all may learn to give thanks to their Creator. You have followed God's light, and the way of the gospel now lies open before you. Set your feet firmly on that path and acknowledge the living God who truly speaks to each of us. Walk in the light of Christ and learn to trust in his wisdom. Commit your life daily to his care so that you may come to believe in him with all your heart. This is the way of faith along which Christ will lead you toward the fullness of life. Are you prepared to begin this journey today under the guidance of Christ? And are all of you present here, sponsors and community, willing to help her as a candidate find and follow Christ? O Father of mercy, we thank you for your servant. You have sought and called her in many ways. She has turned to seek you. You have called her today, and she has answered in your presence. We praise you, Lord, and we bless you, Lord, for you live in union with the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. Receive the cross on your forehead. It is Christ himself who now strengthens you with the sign of his love. Our prayer is that you learn to know him and to follow him in faith. We pray this through Christ our Lord. Amen. God bless you.